Welcome to True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. This is part two of a special two-part episode. If you haven't heard part one already, check out our previous episode, episode 60. And now here's Paul Dean with part two of Rethinking Social Distancing.
I'm talking about an outlook. I'm talking about an attitude. I'm not talking about doing anything per se at the moment. I'm just talking about our outlook. It's easier said than done, only wrought by the Spirit, but we have to preach to ourselves. And we have to remember that life carries risk. Everything we do carries risk. I mean, in the United States alone, 37,000 deaths by car accident every year. I mean, but you still drive your car. 56,000 or so flu and pneumonia deaths this past year, and we don't shut the world down for that. And again, yeah, people die. How tragic. But we're all going to die, and we don't shut the world down because we're all going to die one way or another. And you understand that. Someone said I was basically an optimistic person. When I try to make a decision or plan for the future, I'm basically optimistic, and it affects the way that I do make decisions, and that's actually true. Now, I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God, and I live in James 4. James 4 says, don't say you're going to go to this city or that city and make money. Say, if the Lord wills, you'll do this, that, or the other. Well, I live in James 4. There are many plans that I've made that did not come to fruition because the Lord said no. I made those plans. He said no, and I rested in that. I rejoice in that. But that doesn't mean that I don't make more plans. I know God's sovereign, but I continue to make plans. That's what He tells us to do. I make my plans in light of what He may or may not have for me. I try to make the best decision that I can, biblically speaking. But I don't have an outlook of fear. I have an outlook of confidence, optimism, not pessimism, rooted in knowledge, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of what's going on in our culture. I mean, think about the men of Issachar. They understood the times and they knew what to do. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand the times. We do that at a worldview level, theologically, philosophically, but even in terms of what is happening in our culture, we have to, as Christians, be aware of the times and we have to know what to do. And we don't sit back and wait for the government to save us or wait for someone else to save us. We literally do go out and do something, you know. If I could put it this way, we go out and we kill the lion. You say, what do you mean? Well, Proverbs 22:13 says this, the lazy man says, there is a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets. I mean, the idea there is, yeah, there's a lion out there, and so this individual shelters in place. He's afraid, he locks the door, he hunkers down, he shelters in place. The implication is that's not what the righteous man or the righteous woman does, the one who has his or her trust in God. You know, you say to yourself, yeah, there's a lion in the street. Then you ask yourself, what am I going to do about it? You formulate a plan based upon the brain that God has given you, the commands that God has given you to take charge of certain situations, and you go out and you figure out how to defeat that lion. That's what we're called to do. And like I said a few moments ago, listen, we can defeat this virus. We can keep the economy buzzing. We don't have to shelter in place. There are better ways to do this. I'm not an expert in all of those fields. But even I've put a little bit of thought into those things and could come up with a better solution than what we've got now. And it's not because I'm a medical expert, but you know what? I read medical experts, and you can too. We need to trust in the Lord. Rather than hunker down in fear, whenever we're afraid, we shall trust in Him. That's what the Bible says. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about the human immune system. If it weren't for our immune system, we'd be dead in a matter of minutes from any one of, I don't know how many pathogens. And yet, we can contract a virus and and we can defeat it because of our immune system. We can boost our immune system. It's sad to me, grievous again, tragic and criminal that the media has been saying that vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc have no effect on the coronavirus, and that is simply not true. You need to be loading up on C, D, and zinc, and then the treatments that one can get with and obviously you need to consult your doctor, but doctors are doing this. They're treating COVID patients with IV doses of vitamin C and D and the zinc with the anaphora, as it is, that helps the zinc get to where it needs to go. Hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, antibiotic, and all the rest. It's just tragic that because of the political dynamics going on here, that the mainstream media would tell us that these things are not helpful. I've been not loading up, but I take my vitamin C every day, try to get as much sunshine as I can. I take a zinc every day. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's what herd immunity is all about. You know, you contract the virus. And listen, there are certain viruses that you contract. Once you contract them, you're immune for the rest of your life. Things like chickenpox, smallpox. Nobody wants to contract that. I'm just saying. But then, there are certain viruses that mutate and new strains every year. And you know, that's the flu and that's COVID-19. But these are not as virulent as, say, tuberculosis. I think it's 1.5 million people die every year from tuberculosis. Highly contagious. We don't shut the world down, though. All I'm saying here is that most people have immune systems that can fight these things off. And we can boost our immune systems with certain things that God has given us. I'm talking about figuring those things out. I'm talking about taking what God has given us in His world and making the most of it. Yes, we live in a fallen world, so things don't work perfectly, but that doesn't mean that we're not without resources. The dominion mandate was given prior to the fall, and the dominion mandate was repeated after the fall. You find it in the early part of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And then, of course, you have the fall in chapter 3, I believe it is. And then you have a reissuing of the dominion mandate in the days of Noah, chapter 6 of Genesis. Subdue the earth. You know, that means cultivate it. Take the things that God has given us and use those things for His glory and the good of others. That's what the dominion mandate is all about. And what's being discounted here in the midst of this crisis by a lot of folk and a lot of Christians, and this is where I'm just trying to encourage one another. I'm just trying to be an exhorter here. This is where we need to encourage one another to think about the dominion mandate. We need to think about the fact that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That doesn't mean that we can go out and not necessarily be affected by the virus, but it does mean that we can handle whatever comes our way simply by applying the resources that God has given us, walking in the Spirit, walking in faith, looking at the technology, doing innovative things. I mean, this is what we need to be about, not simply hunkering down and shutting the world down. We can figure this out. We don't have to destroy and dishonor God and literally attack God by trampling on the God-given, unalienable rights that He has given us. Did you know that in Genesis 9:6, the primary reason that murder is wrong is because if you murder a human being, there's a sense in which you're murdering God, because human beings are created in the image of God. And that means if you attack a human being, you assault another human being, you're essentially assaulting God. And so if you enslave a human being, you're enslaving God. If you trample upon a human being's rights, then you're doing the same to God. God has given us the right to life. We don't deserve it, but He's given it to us. And the golden rule stands, and it applies in every context, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I don't think any of us want to be enslaved. And so we've been endowed, as the Declaration says, we've been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, but those rights are being trampled upon now. And again, we've talked about this many, many times, and we've cited other sources, including Judge Napolitano and others, but our government has no right to do what they're doing. But see, there's a better way. We don't have to do it this way. Not only should not we do it this way regardless, but we don't have to do it this way. But see, the world is bought into an evolutionary worldview. We're just matter in motion. God doesn't come into the equation. We're just matter in motion. You know, we're just sort of mechanical units that act in a pre-programmed way. If this happens into our bodies, then this is going to happen. If that happens, then something else will happen, and it's automatic in their worldview. It's a deterministic worldview, philosophically speaking. Medical science has failed us, as I've said. It's not that we don't have the medical science that we need and the technology that we need. It's the medical science community that has failed us. I'll put it that way. We can do better. And we need to use the information from all medical sources, not just the favored ones, not just the ones who are in politically with the powers that be, for whatever the reason, big pharma. There are doctors all over the nation who are screaming right now at the atrocities and the manipulation that is going, the atrocities being perpetrated and the manipulation that's going on. Now, these doctors that I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, these ones from Alabama, they say that every doctor in America knows exactly what they're saying, and they know what they're saying to be true. And what we need to do, you know, listen, people, this is a Christian dynamic here. We need to be able to take responsibility for our own health care. That means we need to be informed. But it also means that, look, if there are people that want to stay home, then yes, they can stay home. But the rest of us need to be free to make our own decisions, whether it's to go to work or go to a restaurant or whatever the case may be. We need to take responsibility for our own medical decisions. You know, I think that, I started to talk about how there's a better way. And I think if you put the medical folk in a room and the economic folk in a room, and if you put theologians in a room with them and others, I think you'd come up with a way better solution. As I said, just off the top of my head, I mean, if I were just to think, I mean, we need public service announcements instead of telling us to social distance. This is what I started. Instead of telling us that we need to stand 6 feet apart. I mean, these things are offensive in a very real sense. So instead of public service announcements regarding social distancing, how about public service announcements telling everyone to boost up on vitamin C and vitamin D and to get outside of all things? Don't stay inside. Get outside. Soak up the sunshine if you can. Take zinc every day. That's what we need to be talking about on these PSAs. We need to use the latest information about our immune system in addition to talking about a vaccine, because there are a lot of folk who know that vaccines can be very, very harmful. So give people a choice. Let them either take the vaccine or let them do other things that are just as good, in fact, better than a vaccine. There is a mountain of evidence out there that vaccines are not the way to go. Now, I'll leave that to the medical experts. You do your own research. I'm saying give us a choice. Give people options, freedom, and let them determine how much risk they want to take. You know, I saw a little special on Shaun White yesterday. Shaun White, the famous snowboarder who won Olympic gold in 3 different Olympics. I mean, most people know who Shaun White is. And just before he went to the Olympics, I think the second time, he had an incredible crash on the half pipe. The way it looked on the film, he was coming down and he landed right on his chin. It popped his head back. His helmet flew off and he fell down. And You know, when you first see it, you think the guy's dead. That had to have broken his neck or driven his, you know, jawbone up into his brain or something. Listen, he got right back up a few minutes later, went for another run, made it to the Olympics. I think he'd already qualified, and he won gold that year in the Olympics. Listen, let people determine their own level of risk. You'll never find me on a half pipe. A snowboarding half pipe. You can offer me $50,000 to go up the half pipe and attempt a backflip. You can keep your money. That's my, but see, Shaun White, he'll do it. I'm not making fun of these things. I'm trying to say we need to be given the option. That's what freedom is all about. Here's what we need to do. Tell those who are high risk to self-isolate. Now, we don't make them. That's not freedom. But we inform them. And I guarantee you, most of them will. If I were in a high risk category, if I were really felt that I was at risk, then I would do my very best to stay away from folk who might infect me. I sure would. And obviously, we need to tell those who get sick to self-isolate. And you need to tell folk to call the doctor if they feel sick. And we need to be prepared with the best treatments and different kinds of treatments. And listen, not everybody is the same. One treatment may be more effective for this person, and another treatment might be more effective for another person. And don't shut down anything. I'm talking about what would be better. What would be better than what we've been doing? I'm listing certain things. Been talking about it for the last few minutes, even though I kind of ramble from here to there, but don't shut down anything. We need herd immunity. We need the hydroxychloroquine and the zinc and the azithromycin. We need oxygen therapy treatments. We need to gather medical information from everywhere, not just one man, Dr. Fauci. And like I said, especially don't tell people to stay inside. That's the worst thing you can do. But see, this whole thing has been viewed through a secular lens, a propagandized lens. It's been weaponized by the technocrats. And the structures that we have worked adhering to the Dominion mandate, the structures that we've put in place, the economic system that's been put in place, everything, the network, the web of all of our interactions that has been put in place over 6,000 years, it is being torn down brick by brick by brick by brick. And listen, I don't know if we will ever recover. I don't know if it'll ever be the same. Certainly one day, unless there's a wholly different political system for the rest of human history, but we're not going to see a restoration to what we would consider to be completely normal. I'm not going to see it in my lifetime. I'm 55 years old. I'm not going to see it. We've torn it down. And so we need to encourage people to do differently. We need to encourage one another to do differently. We need to teach our children to do differently. We need to teach our children to do better for their own future. What about the future of your children? What kind of future do you want for them? You need to teach your kids that Christians don't run from people. I'm talking about the social distancing now. Christians don't run from people. They run to people. You remember in the Bible, whenever a leper would come out in the open, he was taught to shout unclean so that everyone could run away from him. That's not how the Lord Jesus responded to the lepers. Jesus went to them and touched them. You say, well, that's the Lord Jesus. He's the Son of God. He can do that. Well, that's exactly what the first century Christians did when the plague descended upon them. And that's exactly what they did throughout history. The pagans sheltered in place, but the Christians went out and they ministered to those. They served those who were sick and dying and those who were abandoned in the streets. And yes, many, many Christians died as a result, but they did not run from trouble. They ran toward trouble because they understood that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Christianity is about helping people, and Christianity is about community. It's not about isolation. You know that. We're told to assemble together. We have koinonia with one another. No one else in the world has koinonia Oh, they can have fellowship, but not the same kind of fellowship, biblical fellowship. It's the gospel that breaks down barriers. You know, we're born with and we raise up certain barriers, and that's part of what the church is all about. You come from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different races, different nationalities, different genders, male and female. In Christ, there's either male or female, bond or free. All are one in Christ Jesus. All the barriers are broken down, and people from very, very different walks of life come together in Christ. There's nothing else in all the world that does that. We need to greet one another with a holy kiss, and I don't necessarily mean that literally. There's some Christian groups that still practice that. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. If that's what your practice is, I'd modify it to a peck on the cheek. But you know what? A hug will suffice. A handshake will suffice. I've been doing the fist bump for years because I just, I'm always kind of worried about this, that, or the other. But you know what? In this climate of social distancing, I'll be happy to shake your hand. I'm being serious about that. And you know what? I won't force myself on you or anyone else because I respect where you are. I respect your rights. If you don't want anybody shaking your hand or giving you a hug or whatever the case, getting in your space, I'm not going to force that. I'm simply saying we need to rethink that. That's what I'm saying. Sure, we can go to the fist bump. But making sure we stay 6 feet apart, no, that's the world's way. That's the world's way. You feel that you've got a loved one who's high risk and you don't want to shake their hand or hug them, okay, that's fine. I get that. I'm talking about in general. But see, the world divides us, and they're doing a good job right now. But the church brings people together. The gospel brings people together. Christians bring people together. You know that live streaming is not church. You know that Zooming is not church. Now look, if somebody has the flu, then by all means, stay home. Somebody has a stomach bug or whatever the case, COVID-19, please stay home. Wait till you're better. But that's a very different thing than treating each other. Hear me now. That's a very different thing than treating each other as lepers. Please, let's don't treat one another like we're lepers. We can't do that. That's not gospel. Most of us have already been exposed, as I've said. I wouldn't be surprised if everyone's been exposed to someone who's been exposed. If I want to put it that way, I'm laughing at myself. We understand all that. Christ came to give us life, and he came to give us life more abundantly. And we're not created to live in isolation. We're just not. And we can make it through because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we can all do better if we spread our message. Our message is not just let's not be isolated. Our message is the gospel, but there are implications of the gospel, as I've been saying. So that's what we need to do. You know, Sly and the Family Stone had a great song back in the 60s, and the chorus goes, "We got to live together." Now, they're talking about the barriers that should be broken down, and I don't think they were coming from, the gospel, but they were right. The barriers should be broken down, and they can ultimately and truly only be broken down by the gospel, but I'm making an application in our situation that they weren't making. Let me say it again. We got to live together. That's the application that I'm making. We can't live with social distancing. So let's think these things through, and we'll think biblically. We'll think together. We'll do that as always on True Worldview. Join me next time.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.